It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen.
Greetings and salutations, everybody. It is me, Stephen Julian, your slightly annoying co-host, for a very, very, very special edition of Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen. No crowd noise in the background. No long, irritating, or anything like that. And also, at the very start of the show, no Tiffany. What's going on? Well, today's a very special episode. We are broadcasting from Fulfillment Strategies International, their new campus out in Lithia Springs, the 400,000 square foot warehouse, which you'll hear the exact number in a few minutes, because I am doing a little intro-outro recording with Jody Smith, our wonderful producer. Meanwhile, Tiffany is out in the Fulfillment Strategies warehouse with such great luminaries as Seth Gilland and Gifford Pace, who you know from our show. Also with Linda, who was on other shows. And with Ken and Forrest Marbot. Ken, the founder of the company, and Forrest, his son, who now is the CEO of the company. You'll hear from them in a few minutes, but I'm doing the little intro because we are here celebrating the 25th anniversary of the start of Fulfillment Strategies International. You're going to hear from Ken and Forrest about the beginnings. You're also going to hear about the growth of the company and kind of the secrets of how they've grown the company. You'll also hear from a past employee and maybe some other surprises that you don't know. But I was tasked with starting the show while Tiffany eats lunch. So there you go. So let's get right into it. Welcome to the 25th anniversary celebration, the silver anniversary of one of our favorite product geniuses, Fulfillment Strategies International. So here we go. It's time. We've put it off long enough. It's time to really get into it, Tiffany. I can't believe it. Actually, I can, because we're at their place.
Right.
We have Ken and Forrest Marbot sitting at their own conference table across from
together.
Us, letting us interview them
yes.
here on Product Genius. We're here, of course, as we've said many times, celebrating 25th anniversary of the start of FSI. So, Ken, that means I get to start with you.
All right.
25 years ago, 1996, FSI was started.
That is correct.
Can you take us back to that first day? Can you take us back to the first month, the first project, the first, holy crap, what did I get myself into?
I'll be glad to. Yes, we started the business, and my brother Hoyt down there, he and I started it. And the day that we opened, it was just he and I, and we had called a temp agency and said, hey, we need a girl Friday. They sent us one. Her name is Karen Cross. She is still with us today.
Wow, that's impressive.
So she's been a jewel. She was a godsend.
And the company was started around a particular project, correct?
Yes, it was. Well, it wasn't started around that project. I was awarded the project once some of my ex-customers from other companies found out that I was opening business. But
it's a solid business technique. Nothing wrong with that.
It's a solid business technique. But to go back just a little bit, whenever we started the company, obviously we needed some space to work out of.
Right. Well,
we were looking for some small space because, you know, we didn't have any money.
Right.
we had a dream, but we didn't have any money. So we worked with Scotland Wright, who has still been our agent. He was here today. But we found this little 16,000 square foot warehouse. It was in pretty bad shape, the offices and everything, and we talked the landlord into letting us do the renovation inside at our own expense rather than them doing the build out.
Right.
So they let us have the warehouse for 30 days, and Hoyt and I and my grandkids, well, it wasn't my grandkids, my kids. the grandkids weren't even around yet.
Yeah.
But all the family members, we spent 30 days in there scraping old shag carpet off the floors and repainting the walls.
Wow.
And it was quite an experience in itself.
Ken, tell us the difference in size compared to this. to where we are right now?
That was 16,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. We're in 486,000.
Wow. I don't know what the math is on that, but
that's a lot. So
we'll have a nice visual for you when you get out there.
That's right.
The cones that are out there and the balloons that are sticking up out of them, that is the actual measurements of the first warehouse.
Oh, nice.
So we are all sitting today inside of that.
Wow.
As we gather today to eat and have our little get together.
That was smart.
So, yes. So Forrest, I was going to ask you here. I asked Ken about that opening, but apparently you were there.
Yeah.
Helping work, take up shag carpeting and painting and you know.
Yes.
So
as a high schooler or what age?
Right, fresh out of college.
Fresh out of college.
All right. So here you go. You go to college, get this great degree. You're ready to kick off your professional career, and your dad goes, "Hey, I need you in a warehouse helping me for 30 days get something off the ground."
Yeah. And I think I guess at that time it was before I graduated, so it was still, you know, whatever time I had available to come help out.
Yeah.
But a lot of sweat went into that, and then we knocked it out.
And had no clue, right, that you were going to end up going into this.
No.
No.
When he got it going, I went off and did other things for a little while before he talked
pulled
me
you
into,
back.
You know, "Hey, why don't you come join
before
me?"
Before I begged him to come in.
You know, I tried to be cool about it and act like he couldn't afford me. But,
right.
You
know,
but after all,
I still can't.
Remind us, did you go to college for something in line with this, or was it completely opposite of your path?
Well, like, I guess in a way a little bit, but not necessarily for logistics or anything. I'm not even sure if logistics was much of a degree at that time, but you know, I was majored in marketing and sales at Georgia, and so when I first started, I rolled into sales, so I went out selling fulfillment, so it wasn't out of, you know, what I was already doing. So I guess
quite fitting.
Like, well, why don't you come sell for me instead of for somebody else? Like, okay, let's look at that.
So there are plenty of people listening, and if they're not listening, they should hear this. There are plenty of people that have stories of, "We found this little space and we got the whole family together and we knocked out this project and we found this way to cut costs here," or not cut costs, but save a little bit here and bootstrap it and all that kind of stuff. Very, very inspirational story and one that everybody can relate to. It's now 25 years later. You're in this huge warehouse now. What have been the secrets? Any secrets that you can share with people? Because there are plenty of other really good companies that don't make it 25 years. So you guys are great, but it's not just that you guys are great. There's some secrets to it. So can any you can share publicly on the air without giving away the
I'm afraid
secret
I'd have
sauce
to kill you.
Okay,
well, that takes away the question of where the bodies are buried. So I won't ask that because I'll join them. So no, I'm just kidding.
I'm not sure what the secrets are other than a lot of long hours, hard work, dedication, and being fortunate enough to get some good employees. Because any company is only as good as their employees.
And you guys started with that first day of Karen walking in.
Yes, and she has been a jewel. And
and she isn't the only one, right? Because there have been others through the years.
There's been others through the years. But yes, and we were fortunate enough when we started, like I said, we didn't have any money.
And had that's twice you've said that, Ken.
By the way, I still don't.
That's right. Says every business
we're
owner.
Sitting in it, right?
Yeah, you're sitting in it. I mean, you know, we had two boys in college, and of course, my wife was working at the time, and so, you know, she supported us basically for the first 2 years because we didn't make enough money to pay a salary,
right?
And so. It was kind of tough times there for a couple of years, and but you know, we persevered, and we had some ups and downs with it. I think our third year in business, we lost 60% of our volume to Mexico.
Wow!
And but we survived that too, and so here we are.
What kind of jobs did you take on back then? I mean, they were just like little companies you were shipping for, or what? What kind of jobs were you doing?
In the beginning, it was a lot of just what we call project work, kit packing. That very first job that we had that was awarded to us was going to be a very simple job. We had 200,000 kits to assemble, and it was going to be very easy. All we had was 7 or 8 pieces to drop into a plastic bag, yeah, and then pack 200 of those into a cart and ship them out. Very simple.
Right.
And we had 3 months to do it. Problem is, a couple of the items didn't get there until 2 weeks before the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few little nuances that they didn't describe to us. For an example, each little kit got a piece of candy that was in, you know, packets. And those come on a sheet, and you had to break them off. The plastic bag had snap handles, so you had to snap the handle apart and then put the items in. And several of the items would barely fit in the bag, so you couldn't just drop them in. You had to work them in. We had playing cards. Playing cards come in a pack, and we had to go through them and hand sort them into the different...
Oh, good heavens.
Oh, the things you learned on that first order, right?
I mean, it goes on and on.
And who was your team then? Did you bring in temps as well for the actual work?
We did. We actually partnered with a team that had quite a few temps. We ran 50 temps a day, 2 shifts a day for 7 days a week in order to get that project out.
Wow. By the way, Hoyt, who is not going to appear on the show, he's sweating now. That was 25 years ago. I think Hoyt might get up and leave because of me bringing back those memories.
Yes.
So even from the beginning, like you said, ups and downs, but constantly learning.
Yeah.
That first job was great because it got you going, and also was great because, boy, you learned some things about, we got to do this.
Let's make sure that we get all the details.
Let's get the information. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, kind of important.
Forrest, let me jump to you for just a second. So kind of same question I asked Ken. 25 years later, you were there at the very beginning, came back, and have been around plenty during these 25 years. Any secrets? I mean, he kind of hit the high points, hard work, grind. Add to that.
I think for us, keeping up with the changes in how things were, like when we first started, it was primarily kit packing. Very little catalog fulfillment, I guess, was probably what we would have done at the time. And the internet was just not getting to be a thing. Like people calling in 1-800 telephone number to order their products. Now, majority of what we do is online order fulfillment. We still do kit packing, but not the percentage is totally different than what it was when we first started. And having to, I think, keep up with the technology of things of that online fulfillment and trying to stay ahead of that with new systems or having good IT people to build custom solutions or other solutions for either us internally or for our clients.
And that's when you know Ken got out of the way. You really do, because oftentimes you meet a founder that may be, the lead of the company that started it, and they put their foot down and they don't want technology and they don't want growth and they don't want to move forward. He was obviously open to those changes, which a lot of people aren't, right?
He's been open to growth. We're the ones probably holding him back.
Like, oh, really?
Can we just solve the problems we got right now before we move on to some bigger things?
So along with the hard work and the grinding, you always have to be looking ahead. What's around the next bend? Be willing to switch directions, maybe slightly, instead of left, take a right.
There's no question about that. You've got to be prepared for the changes that are coming because nothing stays the same.
Yeah.
And even our warehouse now with the customers we have, they can leave at any time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you've got to be prepared.
Now there is one other, I mean, there's one thing I'll noticed, and I've never worked for you guys and I've never been a client of yours, because I don't sell products, but what I've seen and being around Seth and being around Gifford and being around you guys, man, it's more than just a client. You guys really develop relationships with your clients when they allow it. And you really dig deep and go beyond just fulfilling orders. And that's creating relational capital to have them. It's easier to keep a client than it is to find a client. Now, you're always looking to find more clients.
Yeah.
That's why you got this big building, and that's why the original building is just a small space that we're eating in today. But the other way to do that is to continue to build relationships. And that's you guys, of course, and it's also sales. But it goes on. I mean, it's everybody. It goes all the way down to Karen and others who've worked.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So how do you guys maintain your culture? what's the secret to culture as you're building, you know, and people listening to us building their business, bringing in those first employees. What's the secret?
Not sure about the secret, but I know that from day one, when we started the business, one of our main goals was to have a company, a place to come to work where that you enjoyed what you did and enjoyed with the people you were working with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we tried to foster that with all the employees that are coming on board. We try to treat them like family. This is a family business, but we call all of our employees part of the family.
Yeah. Right.
And we've always tried to keep that going and have a place where that they actually mm-hmm. enjoyed coming to work, enjoy what they did. And because I'm a firm believer, if you're not enjoying what you do on a daily basis, then you need to make a change.
Right.
Did that desire come from where you were before launching FSI? You were an employee of a company. And so
yes.
Did that desire come from a bad experience there where you decided I want the opposite of what I've gone through?
Well, no, I guess it actually came from a good experience. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to work for a company called American Graphics at the time, and mm-hmm. That was the culture there, and
yeah.
It worked great for them. Mm-hmm. Now, they sold out to a public company, mm-hmm. and then I worked for the public company for quite a while, mm-hmm. and culture started changing.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's part of what I was doing with some of the original questions. That's not necessarily evil, right? It's
no.
not it, but if you put that in as one of the key mm-hmm. centerpieces and you want that to stay as much as you can, we're sitting here celebrating the growth. But by the same token, maybe there's only so big you can get with a culture of a family. I don't know. You guys are certainly continue to test those limits, and we hope you continue to test those limits, right?
I think it helps that they are a family. You know, I mean, sometimes being a family business can be a bad thing, but it looks right. like in your case, it's helped that you are family run. So you treat you do that because you are family working together every day. It's almost like it extends across everyone.
And this is true, but your comment is also true, Stephen.
Oh, thank you.
The bigger you get, the harder it is to keep that. I used to be able to walk through the warehouse, and I
right.
knew every employee by name and would stop and talk with them.
Yep.
Now,
good luck.
I only know a fraction of them.
Right. Well, Forrest knows the rest.
It gets harder and harder. But even whenever you do talk to some of them, it's like, I can't believe he knows who I am. Like, I mean, I'm not showing off, but it's like,
yeah.
I want to know everybody
sure.
and
yeah.
get to know what's
sure.
going on in your life, because
mm-hmm.
you are important to us. We yep. can't do what we do without you.
Well, and I think yeah. also we talked about this when we did the tour. Everybody's got a job to do, and sales job is different than the people in the warehouse. However, I think one of the key things is, you know, it's not uncommon for them, the people in the warehouse to see you, Forrest, and it's not uncommon for them to see you jump in and help when needed. And I mean, we kind of semi-joked about it, mm-hmm. but the idea is that families pitch in together, and it started back with that 16,000 square foot place where the family all came together, and they all, you know, you begged and pleaded, and they
sure,
and they came,
yes,
and they came through for you, right?
They did.
And so there are times where certain sections of the company might be begging and pleading for help with one area or another, and as much as you guys can, everybody pitches in and helps. And what's amazing about that is you guys still do a lot of temp work. You still bring in a lot of temp people.
I thought that was pretty cool too.
Yeah,
they started that way, and they're still doing it.
Yes.
But I remember from the last interview we did where. Even the temps are involved in the bonuses and the mm-hmm. getting great ideas and being awarded for that. And so that's family from day one when you show up for temporary
projects. And that's a wise business choice too, because then they can pick from those temps who really should be a part of their team.
There was no question in that. I was just sitting here pontificating and tell you guys you're doing a great job. So is there, are we going to get breaking news on this podcast that you guys are secretly now working on a 987,000 square foot
okay.
warehouse?
Well, nice talking with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Actually, what I still remember
they
is.
They just cut the ribbon today on this one, okay?
Yes. Yeah. What I remember is, now what I do know is, even though you guys left that great place behind, you didn't really leave it behind. You've still been using the place where you were before, right? You still have a little bit of.
Well, we. We consolidated two buildings into this one, two smaller buildings into this one. So at the time, maybe when we recorded some other shows there, we had two or three that we were.
But you're all here now.
Everything's settled.
That's part of how we arrived at this one.
And from what I understand, you can layer this now. There, you can add a second floor if you need to, right?
Oh, wow. I guess for the right amount of money, you can do just about anything.
I do.
No pressure from Steve.
I do like, so Jody, our producer, has said that this new building is so big that if you stand on one end due to the curvature of the earth, you can't see the end of it. So that we'll just stick with that. I know I'm trying to get back into running, and so I know if I ran around it, it'd be about a 5K. I mean, it's more than a mile around if you walk around the perimeter of the building, correct?
It's huge.
I think so. It's big.
It's gigantic.
It's big.
It would be about a mile.
But even in that bigness, it's still a family. So, Tiffany, do you have any question to wrap up? I think they did a great job.
It's a fantastic interview. I mean, I think it's so inspiring to others that are thinking about taking that leap. But they know, from his story that they're going to have to do a lot of work.
The secret is hard work. Yeah. The secret is grinding it out. The secret is recognize the tough times and keep plowing ahead.
Yep. I've told people all the time, they say, it must be really great to have your own business. And I said, yes, it is. And, if you own your own business, you only have to work a half a day. Mm-hmm. And you get to decide, is it the first 12 hours or the second?
That's
exactly right. That's exactly it. We're going to end on that because that's the best advice we can give. So Ken, Forrest, Marbot, also thank you to Hoyt for being here. He stopped sweating. So we stopped talking about that opening job and he's doing much better. Thank you guys for joining. And thank you for partnering with us all these years and letting us be a part of your story. And I hope that will continue, at least with Tiffany. I know you'll fire me at some point because I'll mess it up. But thank you. In all seriousness, thank you guys for being part of our Product Genius.
Glad to be a part of it. Thank you.
Glad to be a part of it. We've enjoyed working with you guys so much. And you guys are amazing in your own.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. I'll take that. Let's end it on that. That was great. Thank you, guys. Man, what a great interview with Ken and Forrest that we got to do here. Tiffany and I are broadcasting from Fulfillment Strategies International, their famous conference room, because we've been here before. What a fantastic facility they have here. I want to remind everybody that Fulfillment Strategies International is a third-party logistics company. You can go to FSI3PL.com, FSI3PL.com. You can check out their warehouse that we're sitting in. You can check out all that they do. Basically, they help product-based businesses like you with their shipping. They help them with their kit packing. They help them with the logistics of running a product-based business. As Gifford and Seth like to say, hey, would you like to get your kitchen table back? Would you like to get your basement back? Would you like to get your garage or bonus room back? We've interviewed dozens of product-based business owners and inventors, and you can check out those interviews. People have been on Shark Tank and local people, and a lot of them have the same story of I started at the kitchen table and it took over my room and all that kind of stuff. Well, FSI is here to work with you, and the best part about FSI is they don't charge to sit down and have a conversation with you. They don't want to just do your shipping. They want to be a partner. So go to FSI3PL.com, go to the contact us. And from there, you can start talking to Gifford or Seth or one of their other sales staff, and they can help start a relationship with you to get your product-based business to that next step of growth. Hopefully like a next step of growth we just heard from Ken and Forrest. But now it's time to talk to a former employee of FSI. Great story. You'll hear from in just a second. And what's really cool is here's someone who retired and then decided to come work for FSI kind of in retirement or actually before retirement. And they had such a great experience and had already had such a great relationship. They came to work for them and then they retired again. And now on the 25th anniversary celebration, they came back to celebrate with some old friends. So check out this interview right now. So let's keep this party rolling. We have a real cool guest. FSI, for their 25th silver anniversary, brought back some alumni.
Yes.
It's like an alumni party here. So Bobby Stevenson, you worked at FSI what period of time?
I worked here at FSI 2011 through 2015, almost 4.5 years.
Okay. And you were the sales manager?
I was one of our sales managers.
Okay.
And actually had a previous career at UPS, retired in 2011. And at that time, FSI was a customer of UPS. And very familiar with the organization when I was with UPS, and I retired. And Ken Marbot and I sat down one day over lunch, and he thought there might be an opportunity here for me, and I agreed. And we came on, and I was with them, like I say, a little over 4 years. And
so you worked at FSI in retirement?
Yeah, in retirement, absolutely.
So you were bored and basically said, I still want to do this.
You know what? I still have some gas in the tank.
Yeah, absolutely. And UPS, great company to work for.
Wonderful company. I had a 25-year career with them in sales and director of sales.
And what a great transition to similar but different.
Similar but different. I knew a lot about the business here before I came here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were picking up their packages. We were a business partner of theirs.
Yeah.
Providing service to FSI's customers. So it worked out real well.
What was the biggest, so someone working for a giant conglomerate corporation, well-run company like UPS, I would imagine, I'm going to answer the question for you, but coming to an organization like FSI, still very, you know, scaled, does a lot of things, but was it more of a family setting? What was the biggest difference as you came from UPS to here that you noticed in your years here?
The culture was a little bit different, much more laid back, much more family oriented, mm-hmm. much more touching, feeling, mm-hmm. Knowing a lot about one another, everything from the business side of them to the family side of them. UPS, you know, 375,000 right. employees.
You can't do that, right?
So do the math there, okay? Do the math. But a wonderful company here. How many companies have been around 25 years? I mean, think about
that's
that.
Right.
That's quite an achievement.
Five is a stretch.
It's a remarkable achievement.
Yeah.
And they continue to grow, and that is so nice to see.
And even in their growth, continue to have the culture
yes,
that they do, right?
Absolutely.
They haven't given up on that culture, which I think is...
And I don't think they ever will. I think that's just a mainstay for them.
All right. Now, I need to ask this question. Longtime listeners of the Product Genius podcast with Tiffany Krumans, we've gotten to know many people with FSI, maybe none more than Gifford and Seth. Mm-hmm. And if you were the sales manager here, you've got some stories.
I heard that he brought Seth over.
That
he
is true.
So it's your fault.
That is true.
That Seth.
That we have to work with Seth.
I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame. Oh, let me give you a little history.
Yeah.
Actually, Seth was one of my sales guys at UPS. And I've known Seth personally, professionally, probably 20 years.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of funny. After my retirement, I was having dinner one night, Seth and I and a couple other folks. And I just kind of posed the question. I said, Seth, what's your thoughts of maybe taking a look at another career opportunity? We talked. He came in. He interviewed. And then he's been here and doing such a wonderful job. And, mm-hmm. I mean, just look at the growth of the business.
Yeah.
Look at this beautiful new facility that they're in right now. It's beautiful and gorgeous. And and I'm so happy to see success from Seth and from the business and everyone involved with the company here.
Were you in their most recent facility when you were part of the company?
I was.
Okay.
And what did they move here? About a year ago?
Yeah, a year and a half. Yeah.
And I was, like I say, from 11 to 15 in the other facility.
Big change, huh?
Unbelievable.
So Tiffany, that's the sign of a great manager. I set it up on a tee for him. I gave him an opportunity to knock it out of the park, and he won't dish any dirt on Seth.
Yeah.
Right? That's a great manager.
Off the air, right?
So we'll get those stories off the air. You guys will have to listen to the.
I'll be glad to.
Yeah.
The uncut version.
Bobby Stevenson, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And let's go enjoy some food together.
Let's do that.
I like it.
Thank you so much.
All right, so next guest, and actually, Tiffany, I don't mind saying we saved the best for last.
Yes. But don't tell Forrest or Gifford or anybody else.
Well, actually, I think they would all agree with us. I am thrilled and honored to welcome back onto the show Linda Williamson with FSI. Linda.
Hi.
Good
quite
to see
literally
you.
Years after we last
It has been
her.
A minute, hasn't it?
So, longtime listeners of this show will remember that Linda was the first genius around the table with us.
Yes.
Before the show was called Product Genius,
yes.
It used to be called
oh,
The
God,
Tiffany Krumans Show. on Business Radio X, still available on businessradiox.com. And Linda, you were the first one to come on the show and start talking about FSI.
Yes.
So you are still with FSI, and you know, I don't think they'd admit to it, but you actually are still Seth and Gifford's boss.
I don't know about that. I've got enough to do without having to keep up with those two. But, you know,
yeah, that's a punishment. That's not a job. So you have been around sales of FSI, and you actually kind of transitioned a year or two ago. So tell everybody about exactly what you're doing now with FSI.
I did. Yes. It was really good to bring Seth up, you know, Seth take for the sales part, you know, at FSI. And that allowed me to transition into strategic accounts.
Okay.
So it really wasn't a role that existed prior, but it's a perfect fit for me. It allows me to come alongside not only operations and sales, but IT, and sort of tie all those things together for our largest clients,
right.
For our key accounts.
People like Tempur-Pedic, right?
Tempur-Pedic, yeah. Yes. National Allergy.
Nice.
Good Wipes. Mm-hmm. Stored. Spinrite. So a lot of this started, I think, when I head up the EDI department. And that's been a real growth area for FSI. So putting products, you know, Tiffany, as you're familiar with, going into retail, you know, the big box stores. And so that's become a real growth area for us. And all the larger accounts, they need that service, you know. So it has an operational, you know, aspect to it. It has a heavy IT aspect to it. So it was a perfect fit.
For listeners who aren't familiar with EDI, we've talked about it a few times, but mm-hmm. for listeners who don't know what that is, can you just explain in very simplified terms what that does exactly to communicate with big retailers?
Sure. Well, EDI is electronic data interchange. And what that is, it's the language, I guess, that the large retailers use to send out orders to the people who have products that they sell in their stores.
And it's quite shocking when you receive one of those, because you used to just receive them. Now, like you said, they won't even work with you if you don't have those capabilities. A Walmart's not going to order product from you
exactly.
if you don't have a fulfillment center, or you personally cannot receive those types of orders. But when I first started, that wasn't really a requirement. They just kind of hoped that people would adapt, and it was shocking, and you would lose a lot of money because you didn't know how to do it right. And so that's what your entire team now does, correct?
That's exactly right, yeah. We have a EDI specialist team on the Tempur side mm-hmm. of our new facility, and then also one on the main office side too. And it's one of the busiest areas mm-hmm. in the company.
And that's something that just over the last 10 years mm-hmm. has gone from being kind of a niche thing to now absolute necessity, no matter the size of the business that you work with, if they want to be in retail. But what I love is you've transitioned into It I'm sure it does look different between a product-based business that is selling a few hundred units a month to Tempur-Pedic and Good Wipes and some of these others that are selling to a lot of retail clients and pushing a lot of units. So it's good that you've been able to kind of focus on that. Apart from EDI, what are some of the other things as you've gotten into this new position that you kind of go, hey, let me tell you what else I'm doing in the last couple of years that's kind of rocking the boat and making things awesome.
Well, one of the other initiatives we've got going on now is we are implementing a brand new WMS system, so a warehouse management system at FSI. Our legacy system we've had in place for, I would imagine, close to 20 years now.
Wow.
20 out of the 25 years.
Yes, and it has served us very well, and we've been able to adapt. Our internal IT department, they're very gifted and have been able to, you know, do report sites and things like that to sort of, you know, work alongside that system. But now we are implementing a new one. They are actually based here in the Atlanta area. Oh. It's called DePosco. And we're very excited about it. We have our largest client, Tempur, is on it already as of end of October 2020. and we're now implementing the other side of the building.
So I assume that's a lot of work, moving each new client into that system, right? Is that what you're working on now, is getting everybody switched over?
It is. And it is. It's interesting. It's very challenging because every client's different, you know. So you have a new set of objectives every time you go to move somebody. But yeah.
Is it something that your clients would, I mean, other than the fact that you're telling them, hey, we're making this switch, how do they see the difference, or do they? You're trying to make it as seamless as possible.
It's going to be pretty seamless to them. I think the features, you know, and what they're going to get from FSI is going to be the difference.
Yeah, tell us what some of those features might be.
I think one of the real strengths is the EDI support. You know, the
you can't get away from it, Linda. You really can't. Coming back to EDI.
You can't. Their service is very strong in EDI. It makes it very easy for us to connect clients to those retailers. So there's not a whole lot of work that has to be done. You know, you have to worry about labels, you know, being exactly right and all this. And they do the work at DePosco. All we do is just plug and play.
Oh, so nice.
It's really a good jump for us.
So a little painful right now to get things switched, but then as soon as everybody is switched over, it's going to be kind of seamless.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. So I was a history major. So I when I hear you worked on a legacy warehouse system for 20 years.
Was that the name of it? Legacy?
No.
Oh, okay. Means, you meant the so, one that.
Ah, we're going to teach Tiffany a business term. Legacy means it's a system you had in place, right?
That's right.
And it's the old system.
The older system. Without saying the older system.
Yeah, it's the nice way to say that. Okay.
Exactly.
So I'm a legacy advisor. Anyway. I'm wondering, was it DOS-based?
No.
It wasn't that legacy.
It wasn't that old.
But how could for it to last for 20 years, it had to be good to some extent, but then also you had to have a good team that kind of could tweak it. But my first job out of college, I worked with phone systems. And, you know, phone systems have gone through this huge thing. And I'm beginning to think, you know, here's this, you know, dadgummit, we're still, you know, I'm imagining you guys walking around with brick cell phones, you know, from 20 years ago, right?
No, what I was hearing was that your team was having to do 10 times as much work, right? They were adding on to this system possibly or doing, now they're not going to have to do that.
Making it work.
Right.
So when we took the tour of the warehouse last time we were here, we got to see kind of the cool screens and is that part of the...
That's DePosco.
That's part of the WMS.
Cool.
That's the new WMS. It gives us a lot of visibility, you know, into the business day to day and minute by minute.
And it allows the people in the warehouse to see, hey, I'm falling behind. I'm doing great. And you guys do little contests and some other things to keep everybody kind of engaged and having a little bit of fun while they're working and getting things done at that 99.98, I think, efficiency.
Is that the same? No, just kidding.
I'm not going to ask. I've been corrected so many times. I know it's well over 99. That's the official thing that we can say. So here you are with kind of key accounts and kind of the larger accounts and EDI. Dare I ask you what's ahead for the great Linda Williamson of FSI?
Survival, is
that? Well, because obviously this WMS has been this huge project. Do you have something else on the board that you can maybe break on the show here? Or is it this is going to take the next year or so to really get that cranking?
Well, I've been challenged, you know, by our owners to have the WMS up this year. My goal is to have it done by fall of 2021. And after that, we're going to be poised for growth. So,
See, I said that to them in their interview, and they didn't want to hear anything about it. I joked about a 900,000 square foot warehouse next. I think Ken was going to have a heart attack when I said that.
I know.
Not Forrest, growth.
It's difficult to even think that we're almost full here at our new facility.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But the truth is we are. So...
were shocked when we came to visit the first time. You had told us, you know, it's a new facility. We're here 8 months later and it's full when we were here the first time. And it was almost stock full. So,
right. Literally the area where we're sitting out there eating today, next week, the rack will go into that area.
Wow.
That is our last area that we have.
Wow.
There will be no, you know, more huge area here to have.
It's a good problem to have, but
if only you had a history of 25 years in a particular area where you could find other space potentially to lease short term while you figure out what the next step is.
I know.
Good thing you have that and Ken was telling us he has the same relationship with the person that helped him find that 16,000 square foot warehouse to start with. So
that's
now,
true. He was here today, so he's been an integral part of our, you know, step by step.
But that extra little space in the next year or two might have to be a little more than 16,000 square feet. So, one thing that comes across is FSI full of real people working real hard, always looking ahead, and willing to do what's necessary to help other people succeed. Sounds like a pretty good recipe for life.
And Linda, how many years have you been with FSI?
17.
17 of the 25. Yeah. Impressive.
I've been in the industry probably, gosh, close to 30 now.
Oh, wow. I can tell she's been here 17 years. When you watch her out there with her crew and everyone out there that knows each other and cheers each other on, it's very cool to watch.
When you came 17 years ago, was it part of the sales team when you started? It was. Okay. Mm-hmm. First, do you remember the first account you landed? Or one of the first accounts you landed?
I actually do. It was a company called Bugs.
Okay.
And I don't know that she's still in business, but they were from South Africa.
Oh, wow.
And they had these little ornamental things that were made by the tribes down there.
Oh, wow.
And they sold them online. It was very early for online sales, as you can imagine. And she was real, Georgine, I will never forget.
Oh,
she was very interesting woman. And her husband, they were just very sweet and stuff. And then we started with Turner Broadcasting very soon after that.
I've heard of them.
I brought a relationship there to the company, and we've done business with them for years. So it's been a wonderful run.
I love it. Years. Well, it isn't stopping anytime soon. So, Linda, don't be a stranger on our show.
Yeah, come see us sometime.
Yeah, I've asked her to come on, but she could keep, you know what she says? Seth and Gifford are doing a great job. So we'll hope.
She means is I don't want to drive to Peachtree Corners.
Well, and listen, FSI is our genius around the table that handles logistics. And they are the ones that power the spotlight on small business, which is exactly what you guys do in your business. So Linda, thank you for taking a chance on Tiffany and I all those years ago. And thank you for, I don't know if I should thank you for Seth and Gifford not being part of it. Actually, I will. They're good good guys. I enjoy having them in the studio every time. So thanks for being part of our team. Thanks for being a genius. And we will continue to try and tell people to build their product-based business and get their house back and get their life back. They should partner with FSI.
I've enjoyed it so much. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thanks. Well, there you have it. Steve and Julian, your slightly annoying co-host, still broadcasting from inside the conference room. And glad you joined us today. Glad Tiffany could join us for at least the part that she did join us. I feel like getting Jody on the microphone to get his thoughts of FSI, but he's shaking his head vigorously. He's going to be a producer and just produce. I'm glad you guys came along with us. Want to remind you that Product Genius is available on your favorite podcasting platform. Would love for you to become a subscriber to the podcast. Would love for you to send us your comments. One of the ways you can do that is go to TiffanyKrumins.com. Tiffany Krumins with a K, KRUMINS.com. You can certainly learn more about the podcast there and send us your thoughts and ideas. Maybe you want to be a guest on the show. Let us know about what you're doing and building your product-based business. Also, Tiffany has a great course on her website. Go check it out. What it is basically her sharing a lot of her journey kind of in one place, and also things she learned along that journey. And you can learn from those things as well by going through that course. At the end of that course, after you've gone through it, if you want to have a consultation with Tiffany about your product-based business idea, she certainly wants to talk to you about that. She also will get you in touch with many of the geniuses that she works with to help with her business, people like FSI. Also, you hear from Noah McNeely and Product Quick Start and the other geniuses that we have around the table. So last but not least, want to let everybody know that Jody Smith, jodysmith.com, the easiest podcaster in the history of the world to work with. And I, of course, am Stephen Julian, your slightly annoying co-host. I can't give you my website because I'm an independent financial advisor and my compliance department says I can't do that on the air, but you can search my name and search Stephen Julian Financial Advisor and you'll find out more about what I do and help you invest the other money that you aren't investing in your product-based business. So for Tiffany and for Jody, this is your slightly annoying co-host, Stephen Julian, saying thanks for being on this journey. and we'll catch you next time on Product Genius.